say, this is part two of securing our peace of mind. See, in this time of season that we are in, I'm telling you, don't lose hope. Don't lose hope. See, we're told every day that we're losing the battle. You know, and we might as well accept what's going on in God's nation, and our prayers are not accomplishing anything. Well, that is the furthest thing from the truth. It's a big old fat lie from the pits of hell and from Satan. God is not limited by economic systems, politics, recessions, depressions, supply chain shortages, or anything else. His name is El Shaddai. He's Almighty God, the God of more than enough. The God of more than enough. Hallelujah. In James, you know, we see, he talks about prayer there in James 5:16. But see, because the devil, he's working hard. He's working hard every day to wear us down and give us a feeling of discouragement and leaving us with that feeling of hopelessness. There's never hopelessness with our prayers and with God. But in James 5, it says, the heartfelt and persistent prayer of a righteous man and woman can accomplish much when put into action and made effective by God. It is dynamic and can have tremendous power. Tremendous power. And how are we to pray? In the name of Jesus. Good message, by the way, brother. I never got to tell you that last time. But we pray in the name of Jesus. Because Jesus said in John 16:23, he says, and in that day you will ask me nothing. Most assuredly I say to you, whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give you. There ain't no mites there. He said, he will give you. That's an absolute for us. See, when it comes to praying and for our nation, we can look at Matthew 6, verses 9 through 13. For this is how Jesus said to pray. Okay? And I said, all right, Lord. He said, after this manner, therefore, pray ye, he said. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Now, God bless you. Verse 10. It says, thy kingdom come. Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. What we are seeing is definitely not God's will for the United States of America. Because what we are seeing ain't taking place in heaven. Listen, Satan was already up there and tried something like that. And he got thrown out, did he not? Okay. Prayer and intercession is what birthed this nation. So we got to continue our prayers. And it says, let us not grow weary while doing well. For in due season we will reap if we do not give up. We cannot give up. That's Galatians 6:9. For you, Galatians 6:9. Some who have been praying in the past have given up. See, they've gone back to that passivity and that complacency, which is not a good place to go. But see, that's where the devil wants to take each and every one of us. Wants to take us back there. To ride with that. But we ain't going to let him. Amen. Your prayers and my prayers are making a difference. Our hope is in the Lord, amen? Our hope in the Lord gives us a peace of mind. God's peace is one that surpasses all understanding, and it will guard our hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Philippians 4:7. Hope is commonly used to make a wish. Its strength is the strength of the person's desire. But in the Bible, hope is the confident expectation of what God has promised, and its strength is in His faithfulness. 2 Thessalonians 3:3. But the Lord is faithful. Amen. Right there. The Lord is faithful. He will strengthen you and guard you from the evil one. He will keep us safe and secure. Deuteronomy 7:9. Understand, therefore, that the Lord your God is indeed God. He is the faithful God. Right there. He is the faithful God who keeps His covenant for 1,000 generations and lavishes His unfailing love on those who love Him and obey His commands. I like that. He is faithful God. He is a faithful God. He is always faithful. Always faithful to us. In 2 Timothy 2, verse 13. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 13. If we are unfaithful, He remains faithful. He remains faithful. For He cannot deny who He is. And who He is faithful. Amen. He is faithful. Even when we are not faithful to Him, He is faithful. He is faithful to us. The confession, Lord God, that we have for our hope comes in Hebrews 10:23. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope. Without wavering. Let us hold fast the confession of our confident expectation of the promises without wavering. Does it mean a little bit more now? You see, when you look at one word, you got to know what God originally intended it to say. For He who promised is faithful. The confession of our hope is our confident expectation of the future. Hallelujah. And this hope will give us great peace of mind as we face every day ahead of us. The devil doesn't stand a chance against those who are in Christ Jesus. It pays to know who you are in Christ Jesus. Now, how do you do that? Through the Word. You got to do the research. You got to do the work. That's why He gave us His Word. To read it. Read it in the morning. Read it at noontime during lunch. Read it during supper time. As that sun's going down. You will have peace in your house. In Numbers 23:19, it says, God is not a man that He should lie to us, no, nor a son of man that He should repent. Has He said, and will He not do? That's a question for you. That's what it has in there. Has He said, and will He not do? Mm-mm. Or has He spoken, and will He not make it good? He will make it good. He is faithful to fulfill all His promises to us. We have Jesus. We have Jesus. And what does that mean to us? Well, if you look to 2 Corinthians chapter 1, 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 20 and 22. For all the promises of God in Christ Jesus are yes, and in him, amen, to the glory of God through us. Wow! Now he who establishes us with you in Christ has anointed us in God. Is God. He's the one who does the anointing. God. Who also has seated us and given us the Spirit in our hearts as a guarantee. The Spirit here is the Holy Spirit that he puts in us at the new birth. And all the promises of God in Jesus are yes and amen. In Psalm 119, verses 89 through 90. Psalm 119, 89 through 90. Forever, O Lord, your word is settled in heaven, standing firm and unchangeable. Unchangeable. If it's unchangeable, then you can look to that verse 20 up there in 2 Corinthians. For all the promises of God in Christ Jesus are yes and amen. That word doesn't change. Verse 90. Your faithfulness continues from generation to generation. You have established the earth and it stands securely. It's in a perfect orbit, perfect rotation, doing exactly what it's supposed to be doing for since God placed it where he did. And he put it on the axis position that he did, and it's not coming off of it. Not going to happen. Hallelujah. This gives us a peace of mind knowing that his faithfulness will be the same for all our generations to come. All of our generations. Now in Hebrews 13:8, Amplified, Jesus Christ is eternally changeless, always the same yesterday and today and forever. Yesterday. Well, in John 1:1, it says, John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Well, that can be read, in the beginning was Jesus, and Jesus was with God, and Jesus was God. I know whenever you say that, sometimes your mind just goes, he has a nice emoji for that one. I like that one. But then you drop down to verse 14. It says, and the Word, Jesus, became flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory. The glory is the only begotten of the Father.
Hallelujah.
Full of grace and truth. Yesterday, he came and gave grace to those who would trust him. Today and forever, meaning it is the same for all who will believe and trust in him. His grace is presently and permanently available for everyone who believes in him. And verse 16, and of his fullness we have all received. Of his fullness. What did he come to earth with? Full of grace and truth. But then it goes on to say, and grace for grace. Well, that grace for grace means grace piled upon grace. That's a lot of grace. That's God's unmerited favor towards us. That's God's life. That's his power. And that's his righteousness. Now, verse 17 says, "For the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ." That was to confirm that. Where would we be without grace? I knew. I was hoping you were going to say that. I could hear it every time I read about it. I was going to just look at you. What are they going to be? French fries, yeah. The one slightly on the burnt side. Ain't no life in that French fry. It loses all its flavor. It'll crush in your hand. That reminds me of the song, Holy Water, right? I don't want to abuse your grace. God, I need it every day. It's the only thing that really makes me want to change. Your forgiveness is like sweet, sweet honey on my lips. It's like the sound of a symphony in my ears. It's like holy water on my skin. Grace, hallelujah. He came full of grace for us. Hallelujah. God has the victory. God has the victory. Amen, amen, and amen. I say that because it's prayer, and he answers prayer, and he hears us. Okay? His word gives us hope, confident expectation of his protection, which secures for us a peace of mind. Psalm 91, verse 4. He will cover me with his feathers, and under his wings I will find refuge. His faithfulness will be my shield and buckler. Shield and buckler indicates complete protection from harm. It is our all-protective shield. It's 360 degrees. Totally encompassing. Now you see the importance of Psalm 91. It comes out against everything. Against your physical body. Against you mentally. You see what I'm saying? Comes out to keep your heart right and keep you spiritually moving. Gives you that confidence. Confidence. The more we read it, the more confidence we get in the Lord God Almighty. Jeremiah 17:7. Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord and whose hope is in the Lord. You want to be blessed? Simply trust the Lord and put your hope in him. That's how you are blessed. What are you going to be blessed with? Peace. Peace. Blessed speaks of our inner state of well-being, the prosperity of our souls in Christ. Blessedness comes from unhindered fellowship with God the Father through our Lord Jesus Christ. He made it possible. It's the only way to the Father is through Christ. To be blessed is to experience the full impact of God's presence in our lives now and for all eternity. Now. We don't have to wait to get to eternity. It's now for us. The presence of Almighty God is with you. You're never alone. His presence is there. Satan tries to throw these clouds in front of your eyes and so you don't see with your spiritual vision. But see, when you got that supernatural vision, it's like Superman. It cuts right through because it sees our supernatural God. Hallelujah. Romans 15:13. Now, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Again, Romans, that was Romans 15, 13. Church, in this time that we are in, we must not waver in our faith. No. We must persevere in our prayers and obedience and keep our focus on the Lord and what He's doing. See, we are winning on many battlefronts. We are. One of the biggest ones we just seen overcome. Because I think the prayers were heard, but we got unified. Roe versus Wade was overturned where it should have never been placed in the first place. God put the right man in office because He knew the time was coming when He could place three individuals on there. So we would have more of a conservative Supreme Court. So our prayers were heard because He put the man in office. He gave us it. Now, it could have went the other way, but they didn't think that it could ever happen. You see how God, the type of individuals He uses? The most unexpected ones? By the way, that book, my brother, was great. Yeah, I finished it. It was awesome. It's about the 12 disciples that were called and how each one of them never met the qualifications. Never! They were doubters. They were naysayers. But Jesus worked with them. And you know when they really got into power? When the Holy Spirit finally came upon them. And what's another thing that's interesting is when it comes down to Judas. On the night that he was betrayed, when they were having supper, and Jesus gave him that piece of bread to eat that he dipped, to signify he was him. That was when Satan entered him. He had the opportunity to be forgiven. That's how compassionate Jesus was. And even in the garden, when he betrayed him, he called him friend. That's the type of Jesus that we got to look at to get our example from. But anyhow, as soon as he did it, he said, okay, go do what you got to do. And he got up and left. Because he didn't want him to be there to partake of communion. He made sure he got the evil out. That's why it's so right for us to make sure our hearts are right. Yeah. For the first supper, he made sure he instant him out. And then he gave him communion. As we know it. Hallelujah. A little sidetrack journey there. Great book, though, brother. Great book. Great book. Now, I thank you. Yeah. The Pajacks, they got me that book for a Father's Day gift. Hallelujah. Yes, sir. Good men they all are. Hallelujah. In Isaiah 26, Isaiah 26, verses 3 and 4, it tells us, now we're talking about God here, so it's God. You will keep in perfect and constant peace. God will keep in perfect and constant peace the one whose mind is steadfast, that is committed and focused on you in both inclination and character, because he trusts and takes refuge in you with hope. That confident expectation. Trust confidently in the Lord forever. He is your fortress, your shield, your banner. For the Lord God is an everlasting rock, the rock of ages. Be strong and very courageous, church. So we triumph always in Christ. The Word says it. 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14. But thanks be to God who always leads us in triumphant victory through Christ. It's the Word. Always leads us in triumphant victory through Christ. You see, God's will is that we win every time. He always causes us to triumph. Now please, you got to keep in mind, this verse doesn't say that things are always going to be perfect or easy. But it does say triumphant victory for us. And always, please, always remember, we never go it alone. Amen. Never go it alone. Deuteronomy 31:8. Deuteronomy 31:8. With encouraging and challenging words, this is what Moses said to Joshua when he transferred his leadership authority onto Joshua. And the Lord, He is the one who goes before you. He will be with you. He will not leave you nor forsake you. Do not fear nor be dismayed. Message Bible, that last part says, don't be intimidated. Don't worry. But in Hebrews 13:5, here is God speaking those same type of encouraging words to us. For He, God Himself, has said, I will not in any way fail you, nor give you up, nor leave you without support. I will not in any degree leave you helpless, nor forsake, nor let you down, relax my hold on you. Assuredly not. Knowing that God Himself has said these words about you and me secures our peace of mind. In Isaiah 40, verses 10 through 13, read it. Now, I love this. Isaiah 40, verses 10 through 13. The Lord says, fear not, for I am with you. Do not be discouraged, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my victorious right hand. Behold, all those who were incensed against you shall be ashamed and disgraced. They shall be as nothing, and those who strive with you shall perish. You shall seek them and not find them. Those who contend with you, those who war against you, shall be as nothing, as a non-existent thing. For I, the Lord your God, will hold your right hand, saying to you, fear not, I will help you. In securing our peace of mind in this world full of chaos, we have to walk in God's plan. We have to walk in God's plan. Somebody probably saying, how do I know the plan? We have inside one who will lead, guide, and instruct us in His specific plan for each and every one. Who will listen. Puts it back on us. Yes, we have to listen. And then we have to obey. We have to obey. For some, that's the hard thing. They hear it, but then they don't obey what they've been told to do. God will help us through the Holy Spirit. Jesus said it in John 14, 26. The Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you. The powerful Holy Spirit is our helper. He dwells inside with our spirit man. Now, when it comes to our government leadership, whether it be federal, state, or local, we find ourselves asking the question, why can't these people see what they are doing to our nation? The answer becomes obvious. They can no longer be given the benefit of the doubt because they do see it. They're not stupid, as you may think. No, it's intentional. It is intentional what you see happening. You need to go in and do your homework. It's all out there. They have websites that you can go see what a lot of these places, you know, what they're doing, what they've made the statement to do. By the year 2030, they said, we're going to be thankful that they took over for us and that we don't have to make any decisions. We won't own anything anymore. Those global elitists, I'm telling you, they've got an agenda. They've got their plan, and they're working hard at executing it. That's why we have to get in and do our homework, because it's out there. We can't be taking what they're saying from the regular news media. We cannot. We cannot be watching the CNN, the MSNBCs, the ABCs, the CBS. You can't watch them because they're outright lying to us. They're not telling us what's really going on. And when you get in and do your homework, you are the one who's going to get educated and say, wow, I didn't know that. Because what you're hearing from me, well, how do I know it? Because I went in and did some research. And once I was enlightened to it, because, see, I'm part of the Flashpoint Army. Amen. If you have an army, Flashpoint. You need to turn, you need to watch it. That's what you need to get into. You need to watch it. Because they bring things out. They can't talk about everything all the time. But they're on Tuesdays and Thursday nights on the Go Victory channel. Yeah. See, they can't stop what goes on because Copeland, directed by the Lord, has his own television station. Supported by no one but partners. Takes no ads, no nothing. And God continues to grow it and grow it and grow it and grow it and grow it. Because he's listening to the Holy Spirit and then he's acted on the Holy Spirit. Even when he kept saying, I don't know how I'm going to do that. But God told me to do it and he told him when to do it. Never got out ahead of God. Okay, I don't know why I'm telling you that, but I'm just telling you, you've got to get in and do your homework, folks. Okay?
Church, if you want to know how to access that, see me after
the service. Yes. Hallelujah. The highly educated and intelligent people making these decisions know exactly what they are doing. It is all intended to give them control, keep them in power, and reshape America as a weaker, non-Christian, socialist, and globalist nation. And sadly, many of those who actually do believe the insanity are willfully ignorant. Job 21:14. They say to God, depart from us. We do not even desire the knowledge of your ways. Have we not heard that right in our Congress, on the floor of Congress?
Yeah.
We have heard that same thing. That's a far different cry from our founding fathers, is it not? In Zechariah 7, verses 11 and 12, says, but they refused to pay attention and turned a stubborn shoulder and stopped their ears from hearing. They made their hearts like flint, so that they could not hear the law and the words which the Lord of hosts had sent by his Spirit through the former prophets. Therefore, great wrath came upon them from the Lord of hosts. God became angry back then, and he's angry now, and he is doing things. See, we got to see what is happening and what he is doing. Because what we're told is he's doing nothing. See, that's another lie from the pits of hell. Why is it that certain things in our nation can be so obvious to some and not to others? Now, I get it. Some people are simply uninformed and ignorant. Also, I realize that there are people who have been propagandized and deceived. They actually believe the foolish ideologies and the dogmas of the left. And this seems very easy to comprehend. So why is it that very educated and seemingly smart individuals in government, media, and education seem to be so blind to the effects of their decisions? Consider the following examples. Our border crisis. You haven't heard much about it, have you? It still exists. Nothing's been done. The border czar doesn't know, has never known what to do, is still doing nothing about it because she's incapable. And for those who voted for them, you reap what you sow. No honest person could believe it is healthy for a nation to not have secure borders. With our open borders, human trafficking is now rampant, rapes are common, children come in by the thousands without adults, terrorists, criminals, and gang members come in by the hundreds, probably the thousands. Fentanyl and other drugs are coming into this country by the truckloads. This is totally inexcusable. All this is for them to get more voters for themselves. Take inflation. The economic situation is out of control, and it's going to get worse before it gets better. Gas prices are going to continue to skyrocket, and food prices will as well. Shortages will continue and increase. This is all avoidable, but unfortunately, the left's hatred of fossil fuels, they hate fossil fuels. It trumps the suffering of their ideology that is creating. Now, a recent report that I saw on the farming industry stated emphatically that the current food shortages and prices that are increasing daily are nothing compared to what is coming. Am I telling you for that to be scared? No. No, I'm not, but I'm letting you know. You know, much of our fertilizer comes from fossil fuels. Over 90% of the fertilizer used around the world comes from fossil fuels. And if you quit refining fossil fuels and do away with it, we have no fertilizer. Believe me, it's intentional. Yes. It is intentional. Crime. You know, even we've heard them say this time and time, the summer of rage is what they're calling. That's what the left are calling it, the summer of rage. You know what? I've heard them, but I'm counteracting that and coming against that with my words. But they were saying that the violence is coming. Yeah, they're promoting it. Did you hear what Chuck Schumer said? What was done to him? Nothing. Not a thing was done to that man. him or Pelosi. I'm tired. I can say it out there. I'm just letting you know, this is the homework we got to be doing, folks. I'm doing this to let you know that we are ahead. We are winning, but these are what they're doing. You know, because all those DAs, those liberal DAs I'm talking about, the ones that Soros funded and got into positions. Yeah, George Soros' money put in there. And by the way, you know who's buying up all the farmland and crops around here? A guy by the name of Bill Gates. Not to be trusted. Evil. I'm calling it for what it is. Amen? But they are refusing to prosecute these criminals. They are refusing that. San Francisco's DA, Joseph Bolden, was recalled because the people said, enough's enough. The people in California are waking up. Oh, my. I'm telling you, see what God's doing? Now, he's not the only one. They've got another couple DAs out there that they're having recalled. Because they're not doing what the people want them to do. What they've elected them in there to do, they're not doing. They're not prosecuting the criminals. They're letting them off the hook. Mandates. An honest person could see how the mandates of the past 2 years were hurting people more than helping them, especially our children's. Lives were lost. Mental problems were caused, financial devastation was incurred, and the damage to the development of our children, mentally, emotionally, and physically, was staggering. And it's going to take years for all this negativity that had happened to come to what really happened. Because it's starting to affect our children now, our grandchildren. And it can affect our great-grandchildren. But in spite of all that, the left was unmoved. They knew this kind of stuff was happening. Transgenderism. The immorality we allowed into America over the past 50 years has now devolved into moronic thinking. The assertion that preschoolers should be taught that they can change or choose their own gender is, quite frankly, depraved and unthinkable. But they're teaching it to them in kindergarten, where it's allowed and getting snuck in. That's why we got to go take back the school boards. Hey, they did it in Dallas. They got 15 on their school board. It's completely conservative now. They fought for it and they got it back. And it's happening in other states. We've got to go back and take back the school boards so that we can see what's happening with our children at that young of an age. When it comes to our government, it's out of control. It's corrupt and it's inept. Mm-hmm. Yep. I don't have to get into any explanations here. I think you all know where that's going. But Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12 says, the battles we are in are not with flesh and blood, but they are against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. In 2 Corinthians 10, 4 and 5, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. God is on the move, and we are winning. We are winning. I said, God is not limited by economic systems, politics, recessions, depressions, supply chain shortages, or anything else. Nothing. The guy said, he is El Shaddai. He is the God of more than enough. And then where do we get? We trust in the Lord Jesus with all of our hearts. Lean not to our own understanding. When we do that and put our confidence in the Lord Jesus, we will have peace. Because his title that he carries is Jehovah Shalom, the God of peace. He is the God of peace. See, Jesus paid a mighty price for our peace. He paid it. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. Hallelujah. We have faith in Christ and gives us all the peace we need. All the peace we need. And when you diligently seek him, where it says, you seek, you will find. That's found in Matthew 7, by the way. Hallelujah. So, with that, I just want to let you know, I have peace because I'm not moved. You got to put your faith in the Lord. Fear tolerated is faith contaminated. Amen.